Revelation chapter 13, the beast from the sea. This chapter is introducing two beasts. And the first one is mentioned in the first 10 verses. I believe the first one is speaking of the Antichrist, and the second one is the false prophet. But both of these are empowered by Satan himself. And Revelation chapter 13, we're going to begin with verse 1. The first beast is a political power that's coming, and the second will be religious. And we know that our world right now is, everything is shifting into place where all the nations are coming into alignment. They're working towards a one world order, one world government, one world monetary system, one world religion, the interfaith movement, you know, where the Islam and Christianity, false Christianity, and Buddhism and all the religions are trying to come together, as they would say, to agree. The golden strand that flows through all the religions that ties us all together. There's a big problem with that, because in order for all the religions to come together, you have to eliminate something that is very pivotal, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There is no way to heaven except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, right? John 14:6, the truth and the life. There's no other way to the Father. He is the door. He is the way. And so, I know this is not popular to preach the true word of the Lord, but we need to be obedient to the Spirit of God. Amen? To the Lord. And we need to say what He's saying. We need to do what He's doing. We need to align ourselves with Him. And so we're not out to be politically correct. All right? I'm not here to be politically correct. I'm here to be obedient to God. And we've got to make the decision that there is a higher law than the law of the land. If the law of the land is in agreement with the Word of God, you obey it. If the law of the land does not agree with the law of God, then you disobey that law, because there is a higher law.
Right.
Amen? You do not bow down to any other gods. And so there is this one world dictator, this Antichrist, this beast that is coming on the scene. In verse 1 it says, I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. This first beast is rising out of the sea. The sea represents the multitude of humanity. It has 7 heads, 10 horns, and 10 crowns. So this Antichrist is going to be a demon-possessed individual who is going to deceive millions. He's going to have authority for a period of time on the earth over those who reject the love of the truth, who do not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And so in chapter 17, verse 18, quickly, it says that this Antichrist is going to ascend out of the bottomless pit. So we know the source of this. This is not speaking of Jesus, amen. It's speaking about the devil. Now the 7 heads, if you look at this, even comparing it to the book of Daniel, portray the 5 kings that had ruled up to John's day. The 6th king being the one in power at the time of the writing. And the 7th will be the Antichrist himself, this one world dictator. Now, back to chapter 17, verse 10, it confirms this. It says, there are also 7 kings. 5 have fallen, 1 is, and the other has not yet come at the time of the writing. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast, verse 11, that was and is not, is himself also the 8th. And of the 7th, and is going to perdition. Verse 12, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. So this beast that rises up out of the sea of humanity is going to have great political influence over the earth. Now, there's two ways of looking at this. Many have thought, you know, as Daniel's image, the 10 toes, as the revived Roman Empire, you know, the European Union, as they are mixed iron and clay, it doesn't mix together, that these are the last 10 end time nations. Well, if you look at it geographically across the globe, there's also another perspective here, because the earth is being divided also into 10 territories. And I believe that this beast is going to rule over the entire world at this time, because it says that he will force all, great and small, to receive a mark, right, in the right hand or in the forehead. And so it says not some, but he says all who are on the earth during the reign of this false Christ. He is going to be a counterfeit. And to those who are not aware, to those who are in darkness or in blindness, they will believe that this is the, I don't know if it was the fifth Imam, but the one that the Muslims have been waiting on, their Christ, the fifth Buddha. Yeah, they've been waiting on their Christ to come. And then to the apostate church, the fallen church, the church that has become the whore because it has idolatrated itself with the world, it has been in bed with the world, it has forsaken the true living God, and it has gone after other gods. And often that's in the image of prosperity and materialism. You cannot serve God and mammon, right? That spirit behind the world system. And so this world dictator is going to come up. He's going to have great political influence, help me Jesus, over the earth. And I don't know about you, but I don't plan on being here during this time. I believe that we, the church, have been appointed for something higher and something better. I know that in the world, Jesus said, we will have tribulation. And we do have difficulties, and many of our brothers and sisters are being persecuted already by this spirit of Antichrist that is prevalent in the world. Now remember, Antichrist means in place of or against Christ. And so there is, you know, a lot happening right now in the political arenas, amen, that are setting themselves up to oppose anything that goes by the name of Christ. We see it even in our own nation, where they're trying to get Christ out of anything. But you know what? One thing they can't get Christ out of, and that is our hearts. We belong to Jesus. We're His property. And so this beast, with this authority, is going to rule, and he's going to set himself up as though he were God, and Jesus is going to destroy him with the brightness of His coming. And I plan on being with Jesus when He returns. Now, Daniel talked about in his dream, or not his dream, but when he was interpreting King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, in Daniel chapter 2, in verse 31 to 35, he talked about this head of gold, these two arms and chest of silver, and this great statue that he saw, the king had seen in his dream, that troubled him. And in the stomach and thighs of brass, the two legs of iron. And if you go back and look in history, there's actually six kingdoms up to that point. The first one would be Assyria. The second in history was Egypt. The third was Babylonian. That would be the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom at that time, that Daniel had interpreted this dream. He was that head. And then the two arms and chest of silver was the Medo-Persian empire that took over after that. And after that was the Grecian empire, which would be the stomach and thighs of brass. And then finally, there was the two legs of iron, which represented East and West Rome, all right? That was at the time when Jesus came, the world was under what? Roman rule. And so we know that Rome had fallen because of what? A corrupt internal condition. Now we see even in America today some similarities, don't we? We see America is crumbling because of the immorality, because we have turned away from God as a nation. And that's why we are praying and we are seeking God and we are calling on Him for mercy for America, amen, during this time, because we need to have a move of God, a sovereign move of God that's going to sweep this nation. I want to see a sweep of God, amen, throughout this nation. I want a revival for America. Yeah. Amen. We want to see our city one for Jesus, but we need our nation, amen, to be one for Jesus. And if we would join together with our brothers and sisters across this nation, as right now people are fasting and praying, that God will move once again in our nation. He'll move in our capital. He'll move in our government. We have a short time, and I believe it is a time of harvest. It is a time for reaching the lost, the souls, amen, for those who will receive the love of the truth, because the night is coming when no man shall work. The time is coming, I believe, when Jesus is going to return for His church, His bride. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. At that time, there's going to be great judgments that are going to begin to fall upon the earth. Amen. And for those who reject the love of the truth, they're going to fall under a strong delusion. They're going to believe a lie. The Antichrist will come. He will rule. He will force them to receive a mark in their right hand or in the forehead. I don't know if we're going to be here for that or not, but I know this thing, that I'm going to be true to God by the grace of God. Amen. Not in my own willpower, strength, but by the grace of God, we can endure all things. We can do all things through Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So this final world empire is going to be a confederation of 10 nations or territories under the Antichrist. Now, in Daniel's vision, he saw these 10 toes, and these coincide also with that same vision. So, I don't know. We can speculate. We can guess. I believe, personally, that it's going to be larger than this, just the European Union. I believe that this thing is going to take over the entire earth. And it's possible now because of satellite. Amen? And through the media now, we can see what's happening overseas, you know, instantaneously. It's just amazing how quickly things spread, including disease. You know, everything is being transported around on planes and coming over, and we've got stuff over here going on right now that we've never seen before, you know. And of course, we always blame it on another country. You know, it's never an American disease. Never mind, I won't go there tonight, but... Hallelujah. But this revived Roman Empire, it says that, let's go on and read. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, verse 1, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns. On his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Now, how many know who the dragon is? Right. So Satan is going to empower this beast. Now, interesting, I was doing some research on this, and one interpretation of this is that the leopard, bear, and lion represent Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece, these three kingdoms. And so it's going to be probably, again, a compilation of these kingdoms, and yet their influence is going to be worldwide. And I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Now, I just want to backtrack a little bit, because today, even in America, in our society, how many have gone to the bookstores recently and looked on the shelves? Especially if you looked on the teenage and the young adult sections. What are the books full of?
Witchcraft.
Yes. It's all Satanism, witchcraft, occult. There's this interest right now into these things. And we've known this for some years now, even in the rock scene, you know, that the there's actually satanic altar calls. There's, you know, it's literal worship of Lucifer that's been going on in some of these circles. And some of these bands have, and in fact, many of them have actually literally, they have sold out to Satan for wealth, you know, and for sex and whatever else that they wanted. And so, you know, who would have thought, even when I was a kid, I mean, I know it existed, but to the degree that it is today, you know, and I grew up in the 60s and 70s, but I'm looking at what happened to, you know, some of you have been going back farther than that, so you're really seeing the shift. But what's happening today is that so many people are literally worshiping Satan. You know, before it was like a fringe. Some people did that. Not very many, but some did that. But now it's just like it's just taking off. And it's like this demonic, there's been this unleash of the demonic upon this nation so that many who have no knowledge of God are being drawn into this stuff. They're being sucked into this deception, this lie. Satan is setting himself up already in the spirit world as though he were God. There are people, we cast a demon out of a girl, and she said that she really felt that Satan had more power than God. And that's why she worshipped him. You see, you will worship what you fear. And so the people in this time are going to literally, you know, they're going to worship the beast. Well, that's already happening. And you know, before anything physically manifests, there's always something going on in the spirit realm. And so what has been in operation even since the time when John wrote, he said that the spirit of Antichrist has been from the very beginning, really. It's Lucifer who's been in opposition to God. But there are many Antichrists at the time of this writing, he said, in the world. And even today, we see the spirit of Antichrist, don't we? And it's what it's doing, it's preparing followers to literally come up, to come to a place where they will bow their knee and they will give allegiance to the beast. They will receive the mark. And I don't believe this is going to be an accidental thing as, oops, I accidentally got a microchip. I believe there's going to be a connection to that where someone is going to have to make a decision, a decision to deny Christ and follow the beast to be lost. That's my input. Because I know that God is merciful. God understands. And that if we, you know, someone accidentally gets a microchip, I don't believe a microchip is going to condemn your soul to hell. I believe what condemns your soul to hell is a rejection of Christ Jesus. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. When you have been presented with the love of the gospel, the love of the truth, if you reject God's salvation, His plan, then you will get what you wanted, and that is separation forever from God. God doesn't, I don't believe, in fact, I know it's not God's will that anyone should perish. But it's not that God is sending people to hell. It's people automatically are sending themselves to hell because they are rejecting the only way for them to be saved. The only escape is in Christ. There is no other way. Good deeds is not going to save you. And so this empire rises up, this world dictator comes on the scene. And in verse 3 again, I want us to read, "And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast." Now, what's happening? We're not quite sure. It doesn't really specify what actually happened. But it does say that whatever happened, this wound seemingly produced death in the beast. But there's this restoration of life that follows. Now, some believe this is speaking of the revived Roman Empire. Some believe it is speaking of the resurrection of Judas Iscariot, because only he and the Antichrist were given the name Son of Perdition. I don't believe that, but that's somehow, some believe that. And others believe that Antichrist is assassinated, but Satan raises him back up. Now, this seems to make sense because, remember, the Antichrist sets himself up in the temple as though he were God. He's a counterfeit Jesus. So it only goes, you know, if he's patterning everything after Jesus, then there's also going to be a seeming death and resurrection. Now, I don't believe personally that God gives Satan that authority to literally raise someone from the dead. Now, we know that in voodoo, a corpse can get demon-possessed and energized by a spirit. And they call that, this literally does happen, by the way. Okay, but that's not a resurrection. It's a dead corpse running around with a demon in it. And so I don't believe it's going to be a literal resurrection. What I believe it's going to be staged. It's going to appear as though he were killed and then resurrected. How many know that the media is really good at deceiving people? The media is an expert at running interference and getting us to believe something that's not even true. There's some good lawyers out there, aren't there? I mean, they've got them working in the media, presenting a case that even though they know it's not true, they will do whatever they're told for money. I'm not going to bow down to that spirit. We're going to live for the truth. And while we have opportunity, we need to be declaring and decreeing the word of the Lord, that people are going to be able to hear the message, the gospel of salvation, that they may understand that they don't have to be swept away with the flood of the world, but there is an escape. Amen? That God has provided a way of escape through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. I'm not looking forward to the great tribulation. I believe that I'm going to be with Jesus during that time. I believe that I am His bride and that I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen. I didn't say we're not going to have hard times on the earth. We all have hard times. We all have tribulation. Amen. And some people will die martyrdom. Amen. Many Christians every year die a martyr's death already because of the spirit of Antichrist that is unleashed on the earth. However, we are not of the night. We are of the light. We see what's happening, and when we see that coming, we prepare ourselves. Amen? When we know that night is coming, it's time to get the oil. Amen? Yeah. It's time to get your light lit. Yeah. Hallelujah. So that you can see, and you're not going to be deceived. Amen? You're not going to be drawn away by the deception that is taking so many minds. And it's the reason why so many are going into deception is because the god of this world, Satan, has blinded their eyes, lest they believe the glorious gospel. But you and I have been given the keys. We've been given the gospel. We've been given the message of hope, the message of salvation, to speak the word of the Lord. And the truth, amen, reveals the light. Hallelujah. It reveals the deception as well. And when we know what is true, we cannot be deceived. And so what we see in America today is an ignorance of what the truth is. Amen. A whole generation growing up without any knowledge of the Bible. Amen. They don't want it in the schools. You know, people aren't bringing their kids to church anymore. They don't even know what the Bible says. And so what are they doing? The kids are going after whatever seems to be right. And how many know there is a way that seems right unto a man? But in the end, it's the way of death. And so we're not the people who go after what seems to be right. We need to know what is right.
That's right.
And we know that Jesus is right. And His Word is always right. And if we follow His Word, we do what He says, we listen to His voice, we're going to be okay. God has an escape. He has not appointed us to suffer wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we see everything coming into order right now. It's time that the church wakes up and that we take advantage of the opportunities we have been given right now to get the gospel into the world, amen, into the areas that are still open right now. Folks, it's interesting, but we're seeing a shift where America is shutting down and other nations are opening up. How many know that now is a time that we need to take advantage, amen, of the opportunities we have in America? Folks, I'm totally, and I believe that part of our vision is to get into the nations. But you know, it's always been in my heart. It's like, yes, we need foreign missionaries, but folks, we need missionaries here.
Yeah.
And that's why I've committed myself to be a missionary here. And I know you have too. How many have committed yourself to be a missionary here in your home? Amen. In your Jerusalem. And so this wound produces death. There's this fake resurrection. And maybe this is, it can explain why the people had said, you know, in verse 4, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Here's a dude that was dead and he's alive, man. You know, he's indestructible. Now, the devil's not indestructible, is he? There's one greater. Hallelujah. And greater is he that's in us. And he was given, this beast was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority. How many know that all authority comes from God?
Right.
To continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. And then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Interesting. Jesus, the true God, was called a blasphemer when he claimed to be God in Matthew 9 and 3. Here, the true God comes on the scene. They call him a blasphemer because he claims to be God. And here, The Antichrist claims to be God, and the world follows him. But listen to what Jesus said in John 5:43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. It baffles me, folks, but it's only because of the grace of God that we haven't been deceived ourselves. Amen? But it baffles me when you see some people that are so educated and really intelligent people following after these people that claim to be Jesus, you know? And they're just taking them to the cleaners. They're taking all their money away, you know? And they're being duped. But how is it? Why? Because there is a real spirit world, isn't there? Don't ever underestimate your enemy's ability. He's been doing this a long time. He's been deceiving a long time. The only answer we have, the only hope we have, is to get close as possible to Jesus. To stay in the light. Amen? Because if you get out of the light, the enemy's very good at putting blinders on you. When Samson backslid, the first thing they did is they grabbed him and they plucked his eyes out. They blinded him. And that's what the devil does. So we got to stay close to Jesus. Say amen. Make me feel good. Apostle John, you know, he described this the spirit of Antichrist in 1 John 2 and verse 22. He says, he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. 1 John 4:3. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and now already is in the world. And so we see that there is definitely, you know, some activity going on to bring everything into alignment under the rule of Antichrist. So this spirit is at work, and it's at work behind scenes and in the invisible realm. And yet, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God that we have been given the sight to know that this is not of God. Amen? But this is of Antichrist. Now, what does the spirit of Antichrist do? It denies, right, that Jesus has come in the flesh. Now, I've talked about this before, but folks, this is very important because when you talk to people who are involved in cults, who deny that Jesus is God, you need to bring them to this scripture right here in 1 John chapter 4, where it says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they be of God or not. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, Jesus Christ, is not of God, but is of Antichrist. Jesus, the man, amen, and the Christ, the anointed one, the God-man had come, the Messiah, the promised one, amen, that God became a man. Anyone that denies that Jesus was very man and very God is of Antichrist spirit. I don't care what Christian label or Christian jargon or Christian look or appearance, if they deny the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that He was equal with the Father, they are of the spirit of Antichrist. Do not follow them. Amen. And yeah, I said this before and you've heard it before, but you say, oh, that's pretty narrow-minded. You're just a narrow, intolerant bigot to believe that only Jesus is the way. Folks, it's not my way, it's His way. It's not my truth, it's the truth of God, amen, that has been revealed to us through His Word by His Holy Spirit. Thank God we've been able to hear the message of the gospel preached to us by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, amen, who has given us this insight, this understanding of who the true and living God is. Hallelujah. And so we need to keep people on that and say, folks, that, listen, there's only one way. Remember during the 60s, during the Jesus thing, it was one way Jesus, right? How many know that hasn't changed? There's no such thing as modern thinking, at least not the modern thinking I'm going to get involved with. The old Word of God, I mean, the Word of God is forever settled. It's an eternal Word. He does not change. What He says is true. I believe what God says. Now, I'm almost through. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. I want you to take a look at this with me, okay, in conclusion tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. This is explaining really what the spirit of Antichrist is like. It's a description. How many know that if you look at 1 Corinthians 13? Is it 13? That the love chapter, right? You want to know what God is like? God is love. Look at the attributes of God listed out in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Amen? Dwell, meditate, think on that. That's what God is like. But here, we're seeing the spirit of Antichrist that is at work already in the sons of disobedience. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Very stressful times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Now that isn't happening, is it? Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Amen. That's the spirit of Antichrist, folks. Has anybody beside myself been influenced by that spirit a few times in your life?
Yes.
At least once, maybe?
Yes.
Okay. How many know that we need to guard ourselves continually against that, right? And how many, who could tell me what is the best way to guard yourself against the spirit of Antichrist? Huh? Stay close to Jesus. Pray. We pray, right? We stay connected. Know His Word. Right on. Know Him. All right.
Keep your eye on Jesus.
All right.
Love God with all your heart.
What is the greatest commandment, right? What is the greatest commandment? Listen, tonight, I just want to throw this out there, folks. Listen, love is the most powerful of all, is it not?
Amen.
The love of God is what we need. We need the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. We need to be filled with Him. When you're filled with God's love, you will love. It is love that people need. Amen. Is it not love that broke through in our lives when we were lost in sin? When we were lost, amen? God broke through. His love broke through. And we woke up to a new day. We're born again to a living hope in Jesus. Hallelujah. This is the message that we need to walk out, that we need to live, and we need to decree. We need to declare it. We need to, amen, let people know that there is a God who is really good, who really loves them. When we start boasting on God, we are praising Him. When you praise Him, you are lifting Him up. When you lift Him up, He says, I will draw all men unto Myself. So the best way to draw people is to boast and brag on our Lord. Amen? Talk about how good He is. Don't talk about how bad they are. Talk about how good God is. And when we see how good God is, we recognize how bad we are and say, I want to be like Him. So I need to come to Him to be transformed. Hallelujah.